In the winter time, I like to feed the birds. In the past, I've had two bird feeders, one filled with the black sunflower seed, the other filled with thistle seed. And recently, I was given a gift of a wood post with holes drilled in it, and you could stuff suet in there, and that's been a really fun feeder as well. I get to watch the woodpeckers and the nuthatch just hang right on that wood piece, and they peck in them little holes, and they get the food out. It's really fun to watch them. And this winter has been a little better than the years in the past, because this winter has been a lot harder. It's a lot more snow, it's a lot more cold. I get to, in my backyard, there's a great big oak tree. It must be, I don't know, 120, 150 years old. And you look up into the branches and you see all the birds sitting up in there. A couple of birds will leave the feeder and a couple birds will come down, swoop down, get onto the feeder and start eating. Lots of activity around my bird feeders this time of year. It's a lot of fun. A lot of enjoyment getting to watch these birds. They haven't told me, but as I watch them, I think they appreciate the food. And I've noticed something. These birds don't grab a couple of sunflower seeds and tuck them under their wing, put them in their back pocket, and take it home with them. They don't come in with a wagon or a wheelbarrow or a bucket, put some of those seeds in there. They fly to the feeder, they eat what they need, and they fly off. As I said, these birds do provide me lots of enjoyment. And I like to take care of them. It's fun. I don't mind the cost of buying the bag of feed. It's enjoyment for me. I find it especially interesting when the birds are all down there eating and here comes the blue jay. The blue jay comes and the birds all scatter. It's also interesting to me that as soon as I open up the back door and let the cat out, the birds scatter. When I'm in the window on the warm side of the house, I make a quick move and they scatter. There's lots of lessons that we can learn from these birds and feeding these birds. And every time we have a chance to look at God's creation, we get to learn something new. I brought some plants home from my mom's house. They're devil's ivies, variegated. And in the window, I have them sitting in the window. And after about a week, you notice that the leaves are all leaning towards the light. So about once a week, I turn them around to frustrate the plant so that they have to lean the other way for the light. And isn't that the way we kind of gravitate toward the light? God's creatures. I like the birds and the lessons we get. They sing when they're happy. In the springtime, they can be somewhat annoying when you're trying to sleep and it's 5 o'clock in the morning. The sun's coming up and the robin is chirping. Sounds like he's right outside your window waking you up. But they're happy that the sun is coming up. They're happy they have a new day. It's also interesting that these birds follow some sort of pecking order. Some birds are able to be on the feeder. Some birds have to stay on the ground. These birds are vigilant. They're always on watch. They'll take a seed. They'll look around. See what's going on. And these birds don't ever seem to worry. I'm sure that you can think of more lessons than what I have presented to you about with these birds, and I hope you share them with me. So as I sit and watch them, I can think about those lessons as well. But today I want to focus on a lesson that I think is applicable to all of us. And it's that these birds are vigilant. Vigilant to keenly watch, to be watchful, to detect danger, to be alert, to be watchful, noticing problems or signs of danger. When I open the door and let my cat Shoeless Joe outside, they see danger and they fly away. They fly into the tree, they fly in the surrounding areas where it's safe, they watch the cat. Where does the cat go? The cat will go down the steps, he'll hide underneath the steps, and the birds forget about him. Some come back, they chase the seed that may be close to the steps. They've lost their vigilance, and Shoeless Joe leaves us the little trophy right by the back door. If a bird isn't vigilant, that bird will wind up dead. At work, we need to be vigilant. Lots of accidents happen at work because we're not vigilant. I'm reminded of my Aunt Annette's first husband, Bob. He was a steel worker. And he was sent down to Osceola to go help build the Jimmy Dean plant about 1987. Some of you may remember this. He was up on an I-beam taking a measurement. And he took a step back and he fell to his death 25 feet. Bob wasn't very vigilant. He thought he was safe. He'd been up there forever. He'd always walked this stuff. This was second nature to him. But he lost his watchfulness. He became too comfortable. He lost respect for his surroundings. And we always need to be vigilant and watching our surroundings. As we lead life of a Christian, this is no different. We need to be watchful. It's interesting that today in the Lord's Supper that Randy read in Matthew 26, 36 through 45, speaking of Peter, James, and John and Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus asked his disciples, "You wait here. You stay awake. You watch while I go pray." This was early, early in the morning hours. But they were tired. They had been up. They were tired. I can justify the fact that I need to go to sleep here. So I'm just going to go to sleep. And Jesus comes back and he says, "Wake up. I told you to watch. Watch for me." So they woke up. Jesus goes off to pray again. And he comes back again. "Wake up." They had justified that it was okay to sleep. Their vigilance. They lost their vigilance. They were not looking. They were not looking for the dangers. They were tired. And when we're tired, That's when we start thinking a little bit differently. When we think we're safe, we think nothing's going to happen to us. We stop watching. And isn't it interesting that Peter wrote in 1 Peter 5:8 to be self-controlled and alert? Where do you suppose Peter learned this? Did he learn this lesson in the Garden of Gethsemane? Did he learn this lesson as he watched Jesus be tried? Did he learn this lesson as Jesus was crucified? Why does Jesus and Peter want us to know this? Because if we're not vigilant, if we're not on the lookout for danger, we will be devoured like a bird. I want us to understand that we will be lulled asleep. We will lose our focus. We will be drawn away. We will justify a wrong for being right. It's how we are. It's what we do. We are humans. If we didn't do these things, then we would be like a god. And then we would have no need for God. But we're not that way. We're humans, and we need God. We need God to help us. We need God to help us when we lose our focus. We need God to help us that when we justify a wrong to be right. We need to be like the Bereans in Acts chapter 17, verse 11. They studied the scriptures to see if what Paul was telling them was right. We need to study the scriptures to see if what people are telling us are right, so that we don't get caught into that trap, lose that vigilance of believing a lie for the truth. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all scripture is God-breathed for the use of correction. To correct ourselves, because we're going to justify things that we do as right. Because that's the way the world would do it. Randy pointed out today that Jesus was accused. Jesus was hurt, but he didn't lash back. If one of us got punched in the face, how many of us would swing back? If somebody hurt our feelings, how many of us would try to hurt that person's feelings back? That's a worldview. We need to test that thought process against the scriptures. 2 Corinthians 13 and 5 tells us to examine ourselves, to test ourselves. And I think that we need to do that on a weekly basis, and I think that we do that whenever we observe the Lord's Supper. We do examine ourselves. Am I worthy? What did I do last week that I need to do better this week? Those thoughts always seem to creep into my mind. Hebrews 12 and 2. Fix your eyes upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Very important verse to me. It helps keep me focused. It helps to keep me vigilant. But I'm not vigilant all the time. I make a mistake from time to time. I probably make a mistake a lot more than from time to time. Jesus taught Peter, James, and John in the garden how to stay vigilant through prayer. Peter is a good example to us. We see Peter, and he wasn't vigilant. He didn't keep watch. And he suffered for it. And yet he was restored. Peter knows this much better than any of us, just as well, anyway. 1 Peter 5 and 10, after you have suffered for a little while, he will restore you. This suffering that we receive, and after we're restored, it's there to mature us. So we shouldn't be disappointed when we're going through suffering. There's a lesson there. Lean on God. Fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He will take care of us. Our God's mercies new. They are new every morning. Lamentations 3 and 22. He will take care of us. He will restore us. This lesson is a great encourager for me. Yes, we should always be vigilant. And yes, we are going to fall asleep at the wheel. And yes, when we lose our vigilance, something's going to happen. We're going to suffer painful trials. But when we focus on Jesus, we ask for repentance and we turn our life back towards Him, He restores us. And we learn. We learn how to be mature by enduring the tough times. Matthew 6 and 26 says, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap, store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Will God not take care of you? Of course He will. Feeding the birds bring me great pleasure, and I didn't even create them. How much more pleasure does God have when He feeds us and we accept His food and become more vigilant as we mature? Deuteronomy 31 and 6 says to be strong and courageous, for the Lord goes with you. To me, and Matthew 6 and many other verses in the Bible, it tells me that I'm important to God. And God is going to be there with me. When I'm vigilant and when I'm not vigilant, when I need His helping hand, God will be with me. I would like you all to think about this as we start this week. I would like you all to start out very vigilant. See how long you can go with your vigilance. 2 Peter 3:9 says that God doesn't want anyone to perish. If you lose your watchfulness, remember to fix your eyes upon Jesus. So this week as we go, we'll probably all lose watchfulness. We'll probably not look at things as keenly as we should. But let us remember to fix our eyes upon Jesus. This lesson is simple. This lesson is easy to understand. But the application of this lesson takes a lifetime to learn. Going to close this lesson. I hope it has brought some good thoughts to you that you can take throughout this week that will help you to encourage the ones around you, to help them to be more vigilant. We're going to offer a gospel invitation, which means that if you want to be baptized, you can come forward and be baptized and be brought into the king, or to be brought into the fold, that God can also take care of you.